Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Joe McGranahan.
Hey, welcome back on board On the Mark. Delighted to have you with us on this Tuesday morning as the day after Memorial Day. I hope you celebrated the day appropriately, unlike some of our elected officials, which we'll touch on a bit later in the program. On the Mark is brought to you, as always, by the Sunbury Motor Company. And our phone lines are open, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. But be sure to put in the keyword OTM at the start of your message. As I said, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. Their North 4th Street Ford dealership in Sunbury and the Kia dealership on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf are the preferred dealerships here in the central Susquehanna Valley. They have an extensive inventory selection of new and used vehicles from Ford, Hyundai, and Kia. Their dealership team is ready to help you select the vehicle that's exactly the right fit for you and your pocketbook. They have plenty of experience and knowledge to share, and they take pride in helping all of their customers find exactly the right vehicle. Their commitment to you, their customer, includes offering great finance options. They have the area's leading parts and service teams, and they serve you from their large truck, body, and alignment shops, plus their repair garage where they work on all types of vehicles. Learn more about them by visiting them online at sunburymotors.com, or better yet, stop in on North 4th Street in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. One of the hotlines is occupied. Two of them are open. We have some emails that come in over the weekend. We'll get to all of that, but we'll start off with Eric from Port Treverton. Good morning, Eric. You're on the mark.
Good morning, Joe. I'm going to do something I rarely do on this show. I'm going to compliment a Republican. And who do you think that might be, Joe?
I don't know. I have to recover from the stroke I'm suffering first.
At your age, Joe, that's not funny. That's not funny at all. Linda Schlegel-Culver. Okay. I'm going to compliment her. I don't know if you got a chance to read the Daily Item this morning, but on the front page there was more information. It's been a whole series about the need to firm up and address our protection for our elderly folks. And Ms. Culver is leading the promotion of two bills within the Senate, both of which are to firm up protections for our seniors. I myself am right now sitting here in front of the Union County Courthouse as our group, Journey to Justice, is going to hear the sentencing from Ms. Cox today, one of the admitted perpetrators of abuse to our elderly folks. So the two bills that Senator Culver's promoting will allow a registry for those who are convicted of crimes against the elderly so they cannot work with that group again, and also just firming up that they can be charged with felonies instead of just misdemeanors, which I understand for the most part what they can be charged with now. What I would say is our group is also promoting some additional safeguards, one of which is to require the person working with the elderly to have be at least 18 years of age. Myself, I would also add to that 18 years of age and also have graduated high school or have a GED. And Joe, you're going to say, well, how we can't get enough people to work with these folks now. How could, if this would be too restrictive? But what is too restrictive to help guarantee the safety of our elderly folks? Part of the defense of Ms. Cox, which I heard when the sentencing was initially done last month, was that her father said, well, you know, she was really trying to help these people, but she was just too tired and too exhausted because she was attending high school and also working full-time at this facility. And I agree. That's too much. I mean, high school kids shouldn't be working full-time in any occupation. I would think they should be full-time students. But to then try to, you know, go from a day in high school then to a whole shift to take care of elderly people, not a good idea. So that's why I think in addition to age 18, which makes them adults, so they can be charged as adults if they do something, also having graduated from high school or have a GED if you want to be homeschooled or so forth, but not try to go to school and work in that, you know, work in that industry at the same time, at least not on a full-time basis. What are your thoughts, Joe?
Well, first of all, I didn't say what you told me I was going to say, so we have that to deal with. But I think that you cannot, as a student, work full-time during the school year. I think there's a limited amount of time you can work. And you
not if you're 18, Joe. If you're 18, you can do what you want. You're an adult.
Okay, well, if you're 18, even if you're out of school. But you said about high school people. I was talking
about... No, if you're 18 years old, you can work full-time.
I know, but
there's
you...
no... There's, okay, go ahead.
Eric, you said that you thought they should be at least 18 years old. So,
right.
All right, so I'm talking about the ones who are younger than that. Take the other guy, for example, who was involved in this, who remains unnamed. He was a high school student. I'm saying that there are restrictions on how much time they can work.
Indeed, indeed. And he was in juvenile court. I did not hear what his defense was. So, but I'm talking about Ms. Cox, who is an adult and who has been identified, and who I was present in the courtroom during those proceedings.
But don't you agree with medical science that says until you're about 25 years old, your brain hasn't fully developed? I mean, isn't there a possibility
for
redemption?
I would agree with that, Joe. But what are you going to do? Have anyone under 25 work?
I'm talking about the redemptive aspect of this. Is there a possibility of redemption for this young lady, who I'm sure now, if she didn't realize it before, has come to realize the serious nature of what she participated in? I'm not trying to defend her. I'm just saying that are we more interested in punishing people or in redeeming them?
I think she seems like a person who has some opportunities here. But I mean, but let's not forget that the irrevocable harm done to the elderly folks, they'll never probably get over that with what happened to them and going through it. And I'm personal friends with someone whose mother's there. And she has definitely seen a tremendous decline in her. In fact, it was that tremendous decline in her which led her to further investigate to find out what was going on. And it was her Ms. Fiedler's actions that brought this all to the DA and to further investigate and figure out exactly what happened there.
Well,
but I agree. But, there's consequences to your actions. If you're an 18-year-old and you commit a crime with a car and you kill someone, you have to serve because, you know, there's no taking that back.
All right, well, let me ask you this then. What do you think, Eric, the liberal, the Democrat who just praised a Republican, which I'm still getting over the shock of, what do you think the proper punishment is for this young lady's crime?
That's a good question. We're going to find out later in court. In fact, I'm just ready to go in now. I think she should serve some time. I don't think she should go up the river, so to speak, go up to Muncie to spend more than 2 years. But I think spending a month, two, and then also then having to serve the rest of the time in house arrest, and then most importantly, prevent her from ever working in that industry again. And right now with the laws the way they are, she could possibly, you know, turn around. Now, probably not in this area because she's well-known, but, you know, work in another state or work, you know, another state might, you know, to escape that way. But I think she should serve time. She should not just get a slap on the wrist, which was what Judge Piazza rejected last month, with her, you know, possibly just, you know, doing house arrest and then probation. No, I think she should need time to reflect upon what she did. And also, we hope that, punishment to those who commit crimes is a deterrent to those who would think about doing such a thing.
Well, I don't think it's
genius. So what happened to these elderly folks? And we cannot downplay that. Now, Joe, if that had been done to a toddler in a daycare setting or something, in a preschool setting, and I don't think how it could done in the school, but in a preschool setting, Wouldn't we be totally up in arms and say, well, that's child abuse? Child abuse brings with it, you know. So why are we treating our elderly any less than we would treat our children?
I'm not suggesting we treat them any differently. I'm just asking how you balance justice for the people who were victims against the possibility of this young lady becoming a useful and productive member of society at some point. That's always the debate when it comes to incarceration versus trying to rehabilitate someone.
Well, again, you know, I'm not saying, you know, she goes to Muncie for the rest of her life or anything, but I think some time, you know, incarceration would allow her time to reflect on what she fully reflect on what she did.
And you don't think she's
done
that now?
And I think that that's warranted. Maybe a month or two, and then the rest of it, you know, having under house arrest, you know. And again, I'll go back to what I said before. By punishing those who do these crimes, and we have to make these crimes right. What they are, crimes. And again, if that was a child that they did this to, I mean, she'd probably be facing, what, many years and be up in Muncie,
well,
right?
I guess the difference I draw is the difference between an 18-year-old doing it and someone who is 45 doing it. You know, the 45-year-old certainly would have much more awareness of the consequences and the heinous nature of what they were doing than an 18-year-old would. And working in concert with a kid who was under the age of 18, it just seems to me that, you know, what they probably thought was a harmless, childish prank, even though it's horrendous and horrible and demeaning and degrading to the people for whom it was participated upon and for their families, I still trying to balance in my mind, and I wasn't in the courtroom. I don't know if this young lady is contrite. I don't know whether she's learned anything from this or not. I'm only asking questions to be the devil's advocate here.
Understood. But I'll ask you then on that side, if they had perpetuated or did that against a four-year-old and published and shown that, what do you think the punishment for that crime should have been?
Well, certainly jail time. No yeah. argument there. I'm not going to argue that point with you, you know, because I don't think there's much redemptive possibility to someone who would do that to a child. Not that an older person is any less heinous, but still, I mean, we all view crimes against children
Joe,
as being far
in the sense
more
that's
serious.
In the sense, that's what you're insinuating.
No, I'm not. I guess you put me in a hard spot here because I don't really feel that way. I'm just trying to balance the fact that this was a young person, an 18-year-old, who, in my opinion, and I don't know the person, I don't know her family, I don't know anything about her, except that she was charged with this crime and apparently did it. But, I mean, I wonder whether or not she has learned anything from it, whether she truly regrets what she did. And based on that feeling, would you have a different level of punishment for someone who was contrite and sorry for what they had done and realized what a terrible mistake they made, or someone who had no contrition and no sense of remorse for what they've done, just completely asocial or amoral or whatever you want to call it? I would draw a line between those two, one punishment level for the one and a much stricter punishment level for the other. That's all I'm saying.
And I guess that's what Judge Piazza will be dealing with later in, I believe 10 o'clock this morning is when she comes on the dump.
But
our perspective is that right now, the way the laws are written, the judge's hands are tied. And if we increase this and allow this go from misdemeanor up to a felony, then for someone, as you say, Joe, who is not contrite, who might do it again, then the judge and the legal system has additional tools to deal with that type of person.
Well,
right now we don't. And that's, I believe, what Senator Flegel-Culver's bills are designed to do.
Okay.
And we support her actions that way.
We have to move on, but I have a great deal of confidence in Judge Piazza. I've known him for a few
years.
As
do I,
sir.
He's
an outstanding jurist. He was an outstanding district attorney and an outstanding attorney, so I have faith in him. Hey, thank you, Eric. Appreciate your calling with an interesting topic this morning. Take care, sir.
Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye.
570-743-9565 is our hotline number, 570-743-9565. The hotlines are open. One of our emailers says, saw a post on Facebook on Memorial Day from our great representative of the 9th District, Mr. Daniel Amuser. He went on to say how we should come together on Memorial Day and celebrate our freedom and give thanks to our veterans who sacrificed their lives so we could have these freedoms. This coming from a man who was on the election committee to reelect the former president, Mr. Trump, who has stated that service members are losers and suckers. He also stated that John McCain was not a hero because he was captured. Mr. Trump stated that he likes people who were not captured. I wonder how the Star Caller MAGAs of OTM celebrated Memorial Day, knowing that they are also supporting a man with hatred for the military and its members. 17 question marks. Follow that. Soon this same man will be found guilty for the fourth time, twice in the E. Jean Carroll case, the New York fraud case, and now the hush money case. Also in New York, a majority of lawyers are predicting 70% chance of conviction, 30% chance of a hung jury. Gee, absolutely no chance for acquittal. I've not seen any that say about an acquittal being possible. Is this the group we want representing us in D.C.? I think not. That's signed by our friend Tom. Okay, the hotlines are open. 570-743-9565 is our hotline number. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. One of our other emailers says, Chris used to sound smart. Now he's just a shill for the Dems. He actually said a while back that the reason people question the economy is that we have poor memory of Trump times. That amounts to gaslighting. Okay, give us a call.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
These are no ordinary barbecue ribs. These are BJ's original baby back ribs, the Valley's best since 1982. First, the ribs are generously coated with our own secret dry rub. Local hardwood is fired to the proper temperature, and the ribs are placed inside the smoker, where they slow cook for hours. Now, they're ready to remove from the smoker, tender, moist, and perfectly charred. Take a moment before you dig in. Have you ever beheld anything so heavenly? Try them during BJ's Summer Picnic Special. Original baby back ribs, served with BJ's tangy barbecue sauce, boardwalk fries, and creamy coleslaw, plus a free pint of lager for just $24.95. Enjoy them inside or call ahead for fast takeout. Only at BJ's M Street Tavern and Oyster Bar in Sealands Grove and Danville.
If you're turning 65 or retiring soon, it's time to consider your Medicare options. Geisinger Gold Medicare Advantage Plan started $0 per month with access to more than 30,000 doctors and 180 hospitals across Pennsylvania. Plus, plan options that may include dental care, eyewear, and hearing benefits. If it's time for Medicare, learn about the many benefits of Geisinger Gold.
Geisinger Gold are HMO, PPO, and HMO D-SNP plans with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Geisinger Gold depends on contract renewal.
With Giant Choice Rewards, I always save money. I can earn choice points on stuff I already buy, then redeem my points for extra dollars off. Thanks, Giant App. Giant, for today's table.
Select varieties of Turkey Hill ice cream. 2 for $5 with digital coupon.
Okay, welcome back on board On the Mark. We have several emailers or texters comment on the fact that my microphone seemed a little low in the discussion I was having with Eric about the case in Union County. However, turning up to blasting level here, we've had an issue on the phone lines for some time where people can't hear me. When I talk to them on the phone, the people on the other end sometimes have trouble hearing me. So we'll try and work on that. 570-743-9565 is our hotline number this morning. Yesterday, both Meet the Press and Face the Nation had segments, opening segments on election security, which I thought was very interesting. You know, we've talked in this program an extended number of times about whether or not the 2020 election was fair, whether or not it was stolen, the 2016 election, of course, there were some comments about that. And I think that Meet the Press had a very interesting panel, balanced panel of both Republicans and Democrats talking about election security, what could be done, what should be done. And I think it's worth taking a listen to. Again, this is from Meet the Press from yesterday on NBC.
Welcome back. The panel is here. Amna Nawaz, co-anchor of PBS NewsHour. Peter Baker, chief White House correspondent for the New York Times and author of The Divider. Longtime Republican election lawyer Ben Ginsburg. And Evelyn Farkas, executive director of the McCain Institute. Thank you all for being here. We are excited about this show. Peter, I want to start with you. You have covered every American president going back to Bill Clinton. I don't say that to date you in any way.
But you look great.
Including Madeleine Albright, exactly. You have just written a book about former President Donald Trump. 5 months out before the election, how do you think this moment is testing our democracy?
Yeah, it's testing our democracy because there are two ways of looking at our elections. One is the way you did with the Secretaries of State, which talk about the mechanics and the systems and what they're doing to make sure things are working. The other is what you also talked about, which is the faith and confidence in the system, almost as important as how you organize your early voting or how you count, is do people believe that an election reflects an honest counting of the votes? And right now you have, as you showed in that poll, 35% of Americans don't believe that. And that's, I think, the most critical question of our moment right now.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. I'm going to pick up on that point, and you also heard my conversation with the Secretaries of State talking about the fact that election workers, that they themselves felt threatened back in 2020, felt real fear for their families. That is part of this erosion in faith.
Absolutely, and those threats have been increasing since 2020. It's not election officials alone. We know federal, state, and local elected officials have also been facing an increase in threats. We know women and people of color in particular are targeted worse for some of those. And we also think more Americans find political violence of some sort acceptable than at any other point in modern history. Not a majority, but more than before. Look, has our country survived periods of political violence before? Yes, absolutely. The period leading up to the Civil War, the war itself, you think about the state and white violence against black civil rights activists in the 50s and 60s. Even then, Kristen, no one tried to stop the peaceful transfer of power through political violence until 2021. And I remember standing outside the Capitol that day and thinking, I have seen these scenes unfolding in countries around the world I've covered, and now it's happening here. So what's underlining a lot of my reporting this season is the idea that our democracy is not immune, and that even though history is a guide in many cases, it's not a guarantee.
Well, Ben, it's chilling, the points that Amna makes, and the rising concerns about political violence, the rising concerns about whether there will be a peaceful transfer of power. You, of course, were on the National Council to the Bush-Cheney campaign. Tough, hard-fought victory, and there was a concession. I want to play a little bit of that and get your reaction on the other side. Let's take one.
Now the U.S. Supreme Court has spoken. Let there be no doubt, while I strongly disagree with the court's decision, I accept it. I accept the finality of this outcome, which will be ratified next Monday in the Electoral College. And tonight, for the sake of our unity of the people and the strength of our democracy, I offer my concession.
Al Gore conceding to former President George W. Bush. What goes through your mind when you see that, Ben, and how does that moment compare to this moment?
It says how far we've come as a country. The differences between a defeated candidate in a very contentious election, accepting that because the institution produces a result we need to believe in for the peaceful transfer of power, and fast forward to today in 2024, where without evidence, without close elections, we're calling into question the fundamental accuracy of our elections and the difficulties that that can cause. What it says, I think, is that we are in a very different position, maybe a precipice, for the 2024 elections because of the third of the country that won't accept election results, because you have for the first time a major political candidate saying the election is rigged without any proof of that, despite numerous court cases and other opportunities.
Evelyn, what are your biggest concerns as we head toward November?
I mean, I think that my biggest concern, like all of us probably, is that there isn't a peaceful transfer of power, that there's violence again, as we saw in the last presidential election aftermath. This is something that no American wants to witness. And frankly, the other part of it is, of course, that there will be a lot of Americans who question the elections, and that will not go away even after the elections, even if there is a peaceful transfer of power. So again, all of the things that you talked about earlier with the secretaries of state about mis and disinformation. We did a poll, the McCain Institute in Arizona, of youth in Arizona after the midterm elections in 2020, November 2022, found that only half of the youth believed that the elections were legitimate and the outcome represented the will of the people. That's just 2 years ago. So this trend is not likely to stop even if we have a peaceful election.
Peter, you know, former President Trump, it should be noted, is the only modern American president not to concede. There have been some Democrats who have raised questions, doubted the election results. We saw that in 2004. We saw that in 2016. Where is the line?
Yeah, sure. That, of course we have. I mean, there have been plenty of sore losers in the history of American politics, right? If you lose an election, you're going to look for a reason why you did. It's usually because the other side was somehow unfair. And you can complain about the rules. The, you know, we should have longer early voting, or it's not fair that they changed the rules because of COVID, or whatever excuses you want to use. Maybe they had an effect, maybe they didn't. There's something different though than a handful of congressmen saying I object during the Electoral College and what happened in 2020 and what's happening right now, which is to say that the President of the United States at that time urged his vice president to single-handedly disallow the election that would toss them out of office. Richard Nixon certified his own defeat in 1960 as vice president. Walter Mondale as vice president certified his ticket's defeat in 1980. We just saw Al Gore, who did the same thing.
Yeah.
And we have not seen anything like what we have seen, as Amna just talked about, the violence in these last 4 years. And I think that that's an important difference. The false equivalence should not confuse people as to what's happened here.
And Amna, to some of the points that you made, there is this erosion in faith in institutions, in our elections. A poll just conducted in March shows that a third of voters said they're not confident the votes in the presidential election will be counted accurately.
Yeah.
How do you reverse that with 5 months to go?
Yeah, look, a third don't believe the results will be counted accurately. A third still believe in the big lie, at least, that President Joe Biden did not actually win the 2020 election. A third at least believe that our democracy is not functioning well. This is in the context, we should note, of a decline in trust of all American institutions, Congress, the Supreme Court, the media as well. And we shouldn't lose sight here. These institutions are made up of people. Our democracy is made up of people. I don't think it's about reversing the trends as much as it is moving through this moment. And if I find any sign of hope anywhere, it's two things. One is that we had the highest level of voter turnout in 2020, some two-thirds of the eligible voting population showed up. That is good for democracy. That's a trend moving in the right direction for democracy. And it's also that 9 out of 10 Americans agree on core democratic principles, things like the right to equal protection under the law, the right to privacy, and the right to vote. There's a nation in there.
Ben, when you think about our institutions and the lack of faith in our institutions, do you think if the presidential election were to be decided, for example, by the House of Representatives or by the Supreme Court, would people believe that outcome today? What would happen?
It very much depends on how we get there, what the facts are. Every state has the ability to give a recount or a contest or litigation. Those actions actually help to validate the election results. Mm-hmm. The real question is whether the candidates accept, as part of the rule of law, what's determined in those court cases and recounts and contests. So the factual record is what will determine that. And we are a nation of laws, not of people, yet it is the people who will set the tone on whether those decisions are accepted.
No doubt about that, Evelyn. 30 seconds left. The U.S. is the gold standard, or supposed to be, for democracy. How is the world watching this moment?
The world is watching with a lot of fear and trepidation, Kristen. You know, they saw last time around, for the first time, as Anwa said, we had a violent transfer of power that shook our democratic allies to the core. Freedom fighters, democratic partners and allies are watching, and they're hedging their bets. They're very worried.
That was not MSNBC. That was NBC's Meet the Press from yesterday with Kristen Welker and a panel, which I thought was very well balanced between Republicans and liberals and Democrats and conservatives, talking about election integrity. And I think they made some excellent points. The kind of scary thing is that roughly a third of the people don't believe that the elections are fair and accurate. And that's a concern. So the question becomes, what can we do? I think that one of the other shows, I think Meet the Press, I'm sorry, Face the Nation, focused more on election security from the standpoint of what kinds of things should be done to assure that those people who are voting are actually entitled to vote. And, you know, we've talked for a long time in this program. I used to argue with Mark all the time about proper voter ID when you go into polls. One of the people on the CBS program made a large point about how difficult it is would be for someone who is not a citizen to vote. And yet we've had people calling this show who believe it's done all the time and that it's a problem. So give us a call. Let us know how you feel. We have a hotline call coming in, 570-743-9565. What do we need to do about election security? Will you accept the results? And I think they made a great point in this show about Al Gore and the fact that he did concede, even though you probably could make a pretty good argument that if an election was stolen from somebody in the recent past, it was stolen from Al Gore. Bob, you're on the mark. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm going to say, from the standpoint of the precinct that you go, you know, to vote and everything, there, you know, each precinct has its own operational area, and then, you know, whether you're going to vote there or whether you've sent your ballots in or anything, I mean, you know, depending on, as far as the integrity goes of the accountability of the election people, because my grandmother was a judge of elections for years, and they had certain procedures they had to follow, and of course, you know, each county and each area has its own procedures, and then basically, you know, whether
it's they don't
counting
have their
by
own
hand
procedures.
or machines or anything else, is not just an easy process of coming up with a final figure.
I hate to argue with you, but they don't have their own procedures. It's state law how elections
no.
are handled.
Well, okay, but I mean, you know, as far as going, you know, of course, I go into Sunbury and at the school and vote as a third ward in that. So, I mean, you know, I have to sign, you know, to
well, but
you
that
know,
would be the same.
Vote.
That would
I mean,
be the
know,
same at every.
I'm a registered voter.
That would
and
be the same at every poll.
Vote.
That would be the same at every poll, Bob.
Yes,
I have
yes.
to sign and
so
smoke
at least
and
that is one consistency.
But the question is, how do they verify your signature? I saw the last time when I registered to vote, I gave my signature, and that was when I came here in 1978. My signature has changed enormously since then. It's almost illegible. But back then, I wrote very clearly, you know, but they never
yes.
questioned me. Now, granted, I've been voting in the same precinct for 45 years, so I think they know me. But still,
right.
there's no independent verification that it's me. And that's why I think we should all be required to show a photo ID when we vote.
Yes. Yeah, yes, I do agree with you there, because this way, you know, your signature and your picture of everything of who you are, yeah, yeah, I definitely agree with you, Joe, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. Take care. Okay, Dan, hang on. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more of On the Mark. Three of our hotlines are open, 570-743-9565.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Try the Crispy Cuppy Roni Trio at Papa John's before it's gone. Choose between the extra-large New York-style Crispy Cuppy Roni pizza with thick-cut Crispy Cuppy pepperonis, a three-cheese blend, and creamy tomato sauce on a foldable New York-style pizza crust. Or get some Crispy Cuppy Papadillas filled with creamy tomato sauce and ooey-gooey cheeses folded and baked. Or how about some Crispy Cuppy Papa Bites made with fresh, never-frozen original dough, rolled up with pepperonis, pizza sauce, and cheeses. Better ingredients, better pizza at your locally owned and operated Papa John's.
Call Papa John's in Sealands Grove at 570-743-7474.
Okay, welcome back to On the Mark. 570-743-9565 is our hotline number. Dan, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Well, I think we should go back to voting the way we did in 2016 before we had all these drop-off boxes and them kind of things is what changed our faith in the outcome of the election.
Yeah, no argument there. I think it did change our faith in the election. But what do we do about it? I mean, what do we do? We can't unring the bell. I mean, most people have decided now that they like mail-in ballots. They like being able to just vote whenever they feel like it. I think if they do what they've abandoned the Presidential Debate Commission, and now both Trump and Biden have agreed to debate before early voting starts, which I think is fair. You know, that way people get a chance to hear the candidates before they vote. But, I mean, if there are proper safeguards in place, does it really matter, Dan?
You see, the thing is, here, even here in Pennsylvania, mostly the Republicans want to go back to same-day voting,
right,
and not have these, but the Democrats, for reasons that I think are unfair, they don't want to do it because they feel they must feel they have an advantage by early voting and putting ballots in the ballot boxes. We've seen with the 2,000 mules, and there were probably a lot more than that out there. That's why people like me, we don't think the last election, presidential election, was fair at all.
Let me ask you a question about that. Okay, on one hand, you have Donald Trump, who did not concede the election, and you have Al Gore, who obviously had a very strong case that he was shafted. I'll use that word rather than another one. Shafted out of the election. And he, for the good of the country, said, well, I disagree. I think this is wrong. I nevertheless concede and will move on. Why couldn't President Trump have done that? It might have gone a long way to making people feel better about the election.
Well, he felt very strongly, as did a lot of us, that it was very unfair, and he wasn't going to just bow down and take it. Trump's personality isn't like that. When he's right, he's going to fight for his right. That's Donald Trump, and partly that's why we like him. He sticks by his guns.
But he wasn't right. He doesn't bow down.
But the bottom line is, who's in the White House now? The whole thing worked out the whole thing worked out.
How do you mean it worked out? How do you mean it worked out, Dan? In what way did it work out? The fact that Joe Biden won or got in the White House?
This Biden got in the White House. Whether we thought it was fair or not, he's in there. You know, so what's the complaint? Trump left the White House, no problem.
Well, there was a problem. January 6th.
He had every right to do what he'd done, question whether the election was fair or not.
Well, sure, he had every right to question it, but at what point should he have accepted it? In other words, he couldn't prove that the election was stolen from him. He said it, he still says it, but I have not, and I'd love to find proof. I'd love to believe it was stolen from him because I think he should have been reelected. But I can't, in all good conscience, say that I have seen or have heard anything that leads me to believe that fraud was so massive that would have overturned the election. I know about 2,000 mules and all the other programs. Some of them have been debunked, some of them haven't. But, you know, still there was nothing that a court could have upheld, and let's face it, if it's something had gotten to the Supreme Court, they probably would have been sympathetic to Trump.
Well, I still go back to, I think if we go back with, like you said, proper identification, go back to voting the way it was 2016, I think all of us would be a lot more confident in the outcome of the elections, and so would President Trump. I think we'd all be much better off, but the left don't want to do that. And you have to wonder why. What's the deep-seated reason they don't want to go back to that kind of an election when most of the Republicans want to? There has to be a deep-seated reason.
Well, Dan, don't you think that the reason would have been the fact that the 2020 election campaign, on the heels of a pandemic, had more people vote than ever before in a presidential election in this country? Wasn't that a good thing? Isn't it a good thing to get more people to vote? If some people won't get off their butts and go to the poll on election day, is it a bad thing to give them some other means to vote?
Well, that's my question. That all them extra votes, was it really from people voting, or was it stuff in the boxes?
I don't know.
That's my question. I doubt whether it was from more people voting. I think it was from the 2,000 or more mules. That's my opinion on it. And I don't really think that many more people voted. Actually, I think it was from stuff in the boxes with the 2,000 mules.
Well, what about Trump? Trump had more votes than any losing presidential candidate in history.
Yeah, he did.
So did someone stuff the ballot box for him?
I'm sure that didn't happen because the Republicans didn't get into that, but the left did because they hated Trump that bad. They didn't care how they would get the election, and they still. The hate for him is beyond measure, and they're going to do the same thing again. If they can't get him out by trial, all these false trials, and they're trying to get rid of him, they're gonna do something desperate again. And they have the balloting going to be the same as before, and they'll be able to use it again against Trump.
Well, we'll have to see how it plays out, Dan.
And it will be complaining again, Joe. I'll be, if, you know, depends how things come out, you know.
Okay.
I'll be on the phone here saying the election was rigged again. But if they went back to the way it was.
Right. Okay, well, we'll see if that happens. But I don't think we're going to go back to the way it was, Dan. I just don't think that's going to happen. Hey, listen, we got to take our final break of the day. Thanks for calling. We have a caller on the line. We have some emails that have come in. We'll take our final break, and we'll be right back with more of On the Mark on WKOK, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
It's time for Plaza House Furniture's summer sale with 20% off store-wide items in every department. We have hundreds of recliners, dinettes, and TV stands in stock and on sale, too. Save even more for a limited time with a cash discount. Plaza House features a huge department of Sealy and Kingstown bedding as well. Shop now and save during the summer sale at Plaza House Furniture in Sealands Grove and in Bloomsburg. Visit anytime at plazahouse.com.
With Giant Choice Rewards, I always save money. I can earn choice points on stuff I already buy, then redeem my points for extra dollars off. Thanks, Giant App. Giant, for today's table.
Earn 2X choice points on produce. Details online or in the app.
Okay, welcome back on board On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan, 570-743-9565. We have one call coming in, one on the line. Chris from Milton, you're up next. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Yeah, well, first of all, about that email you read about me, I think that they are wrong if they think that times were better.
Chris, are you still there? I've lost both callers. I'm sorry. Something happened. There must have been an electrical surge, and our phone lines disconnected. Chris, if you would call back, and the other caller call back, we'll get you back on the air. I have no idea what happened, but it must have been some kind of a power surge. We had a clicking noise, and then everything went off. All the phones went off, but now they're back again. The phone line is ringing, and so hopefully this will be Chris or the other caller, and we'll get them back on the air. 570-743-9565. That's our hotline number this morning. Okay, Chris, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened. There was a big click.
I don't know either. Maybe it was me. I told the phone hit something, but I don't think I did. But
oh, I
whatever.
All of a sudden, I heard the dial tone. But go ahead, sir. You were
saying
me about...
Yep, too. That I was talking about 4 years ago and the idea that when the COVID had hit and we were better off then... Than now.
Right.
At that time, it reminded me of the Velvet Underground song, which goes like, and all the politicians making crazy sounds and everybody putting everybody else down and all the dead bodies piled up in mounds. And there was all the unemployment and the uncertainty and the fear and the Chinese baiting and Chinese people getting beat up. Or anybody who looked Chinese, I really don't think that was better off than we are now. If they do, they can have that opinion, but I don't think it's very accurate.
Well, drop the pandemic out of that, and I think that we were better off than we were 4 years ago.
Yeah, and you can drop things out of this, and then we could say that too, I guess. If inflation isn't the president's fault for the most part, then what do you have to complain about in today's economy here?
Well, you know, ask the people who are saying that they think the economy's in the toilet. And the
that's obviously a lie.
Well, the majority of Americans feel that way, Chris.
That's obviously mistaken. But about your Meet the Press interview segment, one thing was clearly false. In there, that no American enjoyed the violence. I think it's quite clear that many Republicans did, and in particular, the American Donald J. Trump did. He was happy that there was violence there.
And what do you base that on?
His comments to people who testified at January 6th, people who were on his own staff, and his comments on the phone to some Republicans who called him. I guess they care more about me than you do, or something like that, that he had told them. And the fact that he did nothing.
Well, eventually he did.
When he broke a campaign promise, he broke a promise he made during his administration that he would protect every federal building that got attacked. That was a promise he made, if you remember.
Yeah, well, I think he did that largely.
He defended the courthouse, the Congress.
Well, what was he supposed to do? I mean, he told them to go down there peacefully and make their opinions heard.
And fight like hell peacefully, yes.
Yeah, but you know, I go to football games where they yell, fight like hell.
I know, but do you think that's really what he meant?
Well, do you think it isn't?
Yes, I think it isn't, but you can. I suppose you could go either way if you want to be fussy about it, but he showed no he didn't get on TV right away and say, hey, cut this out. If you're fighting for me for the right now and you think you're fighting for me, you're wrong. Get out of the building. Did he say that? No.
But bear in mind that the violence started while he was still speaking. He wasn't anywhere near it.
Yes, but it was the people he told us to stand down and stand back until I call you, and he called them to come to the Capitol, and they were the ones committing the violence.
But that didn't happen that day. He didn't tell them to stand down and stand by that day. That was weeks
ago. No, he told them that during the debates.
Right.
And then he called them, and he put out the word to come to the Capitol. It was going to be an amazing time, an exciting time, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, it could be an amazing and exciting time without violence, Chris.
It could be, but you're being obtuse on purpose, I would say.
No, I just don't think that Donald Trump anticipated that there was going to be violence. I think he thought that there would be people howling and yelling
and
screaming.
When it was obvious violence, he was watching it on his TV for hours.
I agree. He
without doing anything. Without even getting on the TV and telling them to stop it.
Well, I had a discussion with our caller Dan the other day where he was talking about that Trump allegedly, or he says he contacted people about the intelligence he had, that there was going to be trouble, and he asked them to, you know, send the National Guard in, and Nancy Pelosi wouldn't do it. And I asked him,
yes.
I said, well, why didn't he
you
just
know
cancel?
Why?
I just said, why didn't he cancel the rally then? If he had intelligence, he knew there was going to be violence.
I don't believe he really had that intelligence, or if he cared, he was in favor of it. That's my belief, but
well,
you can have yours, too.
I just think it got out of hand, and I think that he, you know, he didn't know what to do.
Got out of hand, as you say, it was out of hand planned from the very start. Those people came with a plan of attack, with equipment to attack.
But they didn't come with guns and weapons to shoot people.
Actually, they did have a lot of guns.
Well, who did they shoot?
They didn't.
Oh, what kind of an insurrection is it where you don't shoot people when you have guns?
Well, because they didn't want them getting shot at, probably.
Well, then they're as insurrectionists, they were a miserable failure, weren't they?
Well, except they shut down the Congress and chased people out with the chant of "Hang Mike Pence" with a gallows outside.
Yeah, I've been to baseball games where they'll kill the umpire, but nobody actually does
it. This is not a baseball game. This is serious politics with people getting injured, with cops being attacked for hours.
And look at that.
With cops being attacked for hours. Do you have that at a baseball game?
Well, how about that female congressman, Maxine Waters, who's telling people to go disrupt people who are having a quiet dinner at a restaurant?
Didn't
because
say that
Republicans.
You commit violence about to them.
Oh,
they,
she said get in their face. Well, what does get in their face mean? Does it mean say, let's go have a drink together, good friends?
Doesn't mean to spit on them. Doesn't mean to hurt them.
Well, come on. You know, the implication
is
there.
Think it's okay, if you want, I don't think she should have said that. I don't think it's necessarily a good thing to do in every instance.
Okay.
But you know, it's a world away from what we're talking about.
Well, I think it's all symptomatic of the current political situation.
There's a world of difference there.
But, Chris, it's symptomatic of the way we are politically today. I mean, it's always...
And why is that?
It's both
when
sides.
When did that start?
It's both sides, Chris. Hey, love talking to you. We'll have to finish the conversation tomorrow. Take
both
care, Chris.
Both sides are equally to blame.
Right.
And then you can pretend that neither side matters.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate your call, as always. We'll be back tomorrow. We have an email from Doug we didn't get to read, but we'll read that first thing in the morning on the Mark. Brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. This is WKOK Sunbury.